This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Booksplode. My heroes have always been junkies. Welcome to iFanboy Booksplode. My heroes have always been junkies. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Sup?
This is our bi-monthly podcast that was opened by the patrons. It was unlocked by the patrons, in which Josh and I, and formerly Ron, our old co-host, would take a look at a graphic novel, an original graphic novel, a Cookit edition, something longer than a regular 20-page comic book. Josh and I have been going down the road on 90s nostalgia for the last few of these episodes. We decided to take a break on that, refuel the nostalgia van.
It will come back. We're not done.
It's going to come back. No. And talk about My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. It's a new OGN from Image Comics, written by Ed Brubaker, drawn by Sean Phillips, the longtime collaborators, two of our favorites. And since this came out in an OGN form, we decided when we talked about the show, let's talk about it on the Booksplode. And it's 72 pages. It's short, but it's premium hardcover, which you don't see that often from Image Comics.
I feel like you're seeing it more. I was definitely thinking about the cause for something like this as a format. I was like, well, you can sell it at a higher price point. You have to make it long enough to be worth buying it in a book. I think you can only do it so many times before it sort of people balk at it. But
let's talk about that at the end, because that was one of my questions at the end of this.
Okay.
Let's talk about the book and then get into all that stuff. So this is it's a short story. Basically, there's a girl in rehab who has a long history of drug use, and as the title suggests, she's looked up to junkies throughout her life in entertainment, musicians, actors, her mother. And we learn about her history as it unfolds, as she makes a friend in rehab. She's she's like 18, he's like 19, they're two teenagers in rehab, but they form a connection, and then they break out. We should mention there's going to be spoilers in this, by the way. We didn't do that properly in the beginning. You think we'd be better at this after all these years?
That's the third iFanboy book series.
So they break out of rehab to go on an adventure, but there's clearly something happening in the background. And I actually really liked the way that the revelations unfolded in this.
I agree with you.
Because you thought one thing may be happening, and then it's not that, and another thing, and another thing. And if you look back, there are little clues throughout it. What did you think overall of this book?
Well, what I liked was that I really didn't know what it was until I was reading it. And then when I was reading it, I didn't know what it was because it wasn't what I expected. I think for some reason in my mind, the idea that the way that the title was the first person, I think I thought it was going to be like autobiographical in some way. I thought Brubaker was going to do like kind of a memoir.
Well, what was the last one you did for that? That was
forever ago. It was
his first books.
Worthless. I forget. I can see
it was
the
one
cover.
It was one of his first works. It was
autobiographical. And I really liked it. That was a great book, now that I'm thinking. And he drew it, too. I forgot about that. Forget that. Remember that? Ed Brubaker was an artist. He was a cartoonist at one point. When I first met Alex Robinson, like, that's how he knew him. He's like, that cartoonist guy? I was like, yeah, he does Batman. Anyway, so for some reason, in my mind, I thought he was going back to that format. So once I started reading it, I was like, oh, it's this. And overall, I really enjoyed it. And largely because, I mean, obviously, Brubaker and Sean Phillips have a great working relationship. They are, you know, symbiotic, and when they work together, they get their best stuff out of it. However, there's been a lot of stuff out of them that has been sort of similar. Like, it's all basically like criminal stories, and I liked that this was different than those things. Basically, I liked that Betty Breitweiser did not color this. It was colored by, and I'm sorry, I just saw it, but I got away from it. But it was a different color style, so it made it feel like it wasn't more of the same.
Jacob Phillips. I think it's Sean Phillips' son.
Oh, that's very possible. His son is definitely an artist.
Yeah.
So I liked that it was just a different type of thing. The formatting was different. The type of story. All of those things led me to have what I thought was a pretty fresh experience from two guys from whom I've read a lot.
Yes. I mean, I'll take all the criminal stories they want to tell. I love those stories. And they just announced they're going to do more. And some people were complaining. I was like, I don't care. They clearly like doing it. I like reading them. So they can do as long as they want.
Well, however, my thing about that would just be that I like that, but there's a lot of them. And they can also do other stuff. And I'd just like to see what else they can do, because I know they can.
Absolutely. And I think what you are absolutely right in that this is a slightly different point of view. It's a slightly different kind of story. It's no less as dark, and it's no less as somewhat bleak, but it's told from a different perspective. And it's almost like a road trip romance, doomed road trip romance. It's a classic noir, you know, Hollywood story. It's two young lovers who are not going to make it. But watching them not make it is interesting.
Mm-hmm. The story and the characters are very upfront about that. I mean, the character spends the whole time going, he should not.
I am a terrible person. He should not be coming with me.
And it isn't one of those wishy-washy, like, I am a terrible person because I say that about myself. Like, she's telling you matter of fact, and I like that.
Yeah, it's not like she's not like a stripper with a heart of gold or a hooker with a heart of gold. She is actually a bad person. And what I really liked about it was we don't really find out why. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of questions at the end of this, so... Again, spoiler warning. So the guy, she and the guy end up leaving, running away from rehab. And he makes hints that his dad was some big lawyer for criminal. And he's got money because of that. And you think, well, they're just going to keep running on empty and stealing money and cars and drugs and seeing how far they can go. But the reality is that she has been sent into this rehab by whoever the dad is the lawyer for, to flush this kid out so they can flush out the dad who's in witness protection. And then at the end of it, it all goes bad for the guy. I like that we didn't really find out how she got involved or why. I also wasn't quite sure who the guy was that she called in the prison, because he didn't look anything like the guy from the flashbacks.
Right.
And I hope it's not just an art problem.
I don't think so. I think that keeping all of that stuff vague made it more interesting, so that their romance felt real. Because if we'd known at the beginning that it wasn't, we wouldn't have believed it at all. By seeing it from within her, and then she was withholding information from us, and it, you know, it just fits in.
It unfolded. I thought structurally it was really strong.
I did too. I absolutely did.
Now the discussion I had for you, which I told you to pause on, was, so why wasn't this just a criminal story? It's their successful label at this point. This is basically a 72 page one shot, as much as you can call 70 pages a one shot. I wonder why this one got the hardcover treatment, and why this wasn't just a criminal story. We don't know the answers, but
I think, does Betty Breitweiser do all the criminal? Like, so maybe it's just like, we want to do this kind of different story. We're going to have my son color it or do whatever. And it's just like, it doesn't quite fit under that stuff. Hey, what if we do this? Oh, we can make money from that. You know, right. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, if we sell this 72 page story as a hardcover, they're $20 a piece as opposed to $7 a piece for an issue. So let's, you know, make it special and package it that
way. $17. Let's be fair.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, it doesn't have any effect on the book itself, which was terrific, but I'm just curious because it is, I guess, because it is a little different, and maybe they did it on the side, I guess, and I don't know. I found it interesting that it wasn't like, criminal. I wasn't expecting it to be such a criminal type story, which it was.
But it didn't have the, there was a lot of, but there was a lot that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
The tone wasn't right. It wasn't as hard bitten, and it wasn't specifically about a crime.
It was. The entire thing was a crime.
Sort of. They weren't legally supposed to stay in the thing, so they didn't break any
laws. Her leading this guy into the hands of these criminals was a crime.
Is it?
Yeah. He's either going to get killed or really badly beaten up, so
she's an accessory?
She's an accessory to murder or to assault or whatever. And then eventually the father's going to get killed. So she's, I mean,
yeah, okay.
This is all a crime.
Listen, I'm just equivocating like a good lawyer. I mean, I'm a bad lawyer.
She was high the whole time.
Yep. She can't be. She's not able to be put under her own recognizance.
It's amazing what the level of depth that Brubaker has for the dark side of life.
Oh yeah. Also, in that respect, a lot of this spends a lot of time. Like, you know, the title is "My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies," and it talks about how much. And I really liked this. I thought this was really well done. Was how much these people who have been on drugs fascinated her, but also the depth to which the story, in a very limited amount of time, explores little touches of these famous people who were junkies, who were addicted to heroin, and we won't use the term junkies in the next, you know, 10 years or so, because we're going to stop referring to it like they're junkies because it's a disease and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not even downing them. I'm just saying this is a thing that's going to happen. We're not going to use that term. I like that exploration of like what makes this person's art like this that right. also made them turn into this. Where they talk about Billie Holiday in that respect, and they talk about others. And, you know, it can get nerdy and I think overdone in comics to use references to other media as a shorthand to making something that connects with people. It can get lazy. However, in this instance, I think it worked really well because this girl built her life up around the idea of the romanticization of druggies, basically.
And who can't relate to that as a teenager romanticizing the destructive lifestyle of artistic heroes? I mean, some people don't, obviously, but there's a lot of people that do. There's a lot of people who get involved with taking substances because they romanticize these heroes.
Yes.
They were a ton of those people in my school.
And also, I mean, clearly Ed Brubaker's one of those people.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he is. A complete low life. Thank you.
That was it.
I think that the book was actually called Low Life, and then the collection was A Complete Low Life. I think that's how it worked.
Maybe.
Anyway, and I really liked that the bow tie on that whole thing was that she talked about the time that her mom had a party, and there were all these weirdos and awful people in the house and blah, blah, blah. And then she saw her, she was spying on her mom, and she saw her mom shoot up. And then she saw how happy her mom was when she did that. And that was the only time she was happy. And I was like, it's cheesy, but I totally buy it. And I thought that was a really nice device to tie all those things together.
She should watch The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Come live in rural New Hampshire for a bit. That'll, less hero junkies.
Well, they are. There is at one point they grabbed some pharmaceutical painkillers. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get a sense of when this took place. It didn't really matter. It felt very timeless.
It was current though. They had a vape
for sure, but like it had the vibe of, you take away the technology, the story could have taken place in the 60s. The story could have taken place in the 70s. It could have taken place at any time, really.
Sure, sure, sure.
It had a timelessness to it that I really liked. I mean, is it the best crime story these two have ever done together? No, but it was a really, really solid one. If you like their work together, or if you like crime comics, it's definitely worth checking out. There's a glossary in the back. I don't know if it's in the digital version of all their work together. They've done a lot of stuff. Done a lot.
I gotta say, I don't know that it's the best, but what I always think of my favorite is still that first, that Wildstorm story, Sleeper.
Which is not in here.
Really?
I think these are just the image ones. These are just the image books.
Creator owned. Yeah, I see them. Other books.
They've done a lot. And they're still working. They're still doing, they're doing a fade out sequel, and they're doing more criminal.
It kind of pads the list to put the fade out and then put the fade out deluxe edition, but whatever.
Listen, they're all volumes. These are the volumes you get.
I think I have all these.
I mean, look, it's a criminal novella. It says so in the front title page.
Well, there you go.
But it's curious that it's not anywhere else branded on the book, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? Criminal is just this umbrella for telling crime stories.
Yeah,
I mean, about branding.
But maybe just the Brubaker and Phillips has superseded the need for the criminal. You know what I mean?
You just think there'd be a little criminal logo on.
Or maybe. Cover. Okay, here you go. Here's a genuine business reason.
Yep.
You have a better chance of selling this to an uninitiated audience without having them believe that it's part of a series that they have to read. Furthermore, you have a better chance of selling this on to, I don't know, say a film producer. The same aspect, if it's not part of a larger thing, at least, you know.
Although I think criminal has been predominantly. Everything's been
optioned. I'm sure it has, but either way, you can then like you could put this on an end cap at a Barnes and Noble and have a much better shot at getting a new reader to pick it up and look at it if they don't think it's part of a series that they haven't read.
I agree with you. You're right, and also it's a great cover.
It is.
It's a really eye-catching cover.
I mean, I'm glad they didn't have Elizabeth Breitweiser on this, and I don't mean that because she's bad, because she's very, very, very far from bad, but I liked it. I think that it made me, it just felt fresh because they have done so much work together, and it looks a certain way, and they do it, but to just change up the coloring on it, it made it feel new, you know, and having the story and the characters be a little different than I think we're used to, but I just liked the coloring. I thought it worked really well. It was a very different style than what they usually have on them.
I like that. So there's a bunch of guys who we really liked who were making comics at the same time. They were working at Marvel and DC at the same time. You know, it was like Brubaker, and it was Rucka, and it was Hickman, and there was a whole sort of class working at the same time. And not so much Rucka, but Remender, he came in later, but Remender and Brubaker basically said, I'm done here, and I'm able to really carve out a career doing what they want to do, which I really like.
Do you wonder sometimes how long that's going to last? Meaning that, like, there was an economy that absolutely supported that for a while when a good friend of ours worked for Image Comics, and I think things have changed since then.
There was an interview with Brubaker somewhere recently that I read, and he basically said he's totally doing fine. He does a lot of TV work, so he can do this as long as he wants.
Like Joe Casey.
He said he did have maybe a couple things in the back of his mind for superheroes that he hadn't done yet. But mostly he was really just happy doing this.
Dude, if he comes back to really DC or Marvel and he gets like the royalty, like he'll, I don't know, maybe. If they make a big thing out of him coming back, though, he'll sell a lot of books.
He won't come back like that, but he might come back, I don't know. He said he wasn't totally opposed to it, but he's having, you know, he did Westworld for a little while. Now he's developed his own show for Amazon, so he's show running a show and doing
he's putting a lot of comics out, quite honestly.
And doing a lot of comics, so I don't think he's at any time.
Yeah,
he's going to be running back to the welcome arms of Marvel.
I'd rather Greg Rucka came back, if I'm going to be honest.
All right, so my heroes have always been junkies from Image Comics. I had Brubaker, Sean Phillips, and Jacob Phillips. Let's do ratings. Ratings, ratings, ratings.
Ratings.
Out of 5. This is going to seem kind of low, but I don't mean it to be. 4.
I'm just going to say 4 also.
Okay, good.
It's not a 5. It's not
it's a
book
a 4.
I'm going to go back and read a ton of times. It's a book I really enjoyed reading that was super high quality and good, but it wasn't like, oh, this book changed my life.
There's been a couple of other criminal files. I'm trying to find the one that was basically the Archies. Remember that one that was basically Archie and his gang. But
yeah,
Last of the Innocent was terrific. That was a 5.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
Fade Out was a 5. 4 is solid. 4 is good. I mean, Sleeper 4.2.
Sleeper was a 5.
Sleeper was a 5.
Do you remember how compelling those issues were, that first series specifically? It was like when we first started watching The Shield, where you were like, I have to see another one. Like, it was so good.
That's part of that era of comics that I don't think we're ever going to get back again.
That page turning, like,
It just that there was so many talented people working and doing incredible stuff before things got super corporate.
And they were also super hungry back then. So they were really trying, because then also like we were coming out of bankruptcy. Like, comics wasn't making money. Like, it was just all this, we're doing it for love and we're going to do it really well because we're getting our chance now. And it was a good time.
So there you go. My heroes have always been junkies. Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Image Comics. I'm really glad this sort of came out of nowhere and dropped on us. I'm happy to have read it.
Connor, who's your favorite celebrity heroin junkie?
I don't know. There's so many.
I should ask that with an Alan Partridge voice.
There's so many. I don't know. Bubs.
That's a fictional character.
He's a celebrity.
Boy, who did
you have one? Do you have a favorite one?
I mean, I feel like it would have to be a musician.
John Lennon?
That was my first instinct, but I don't know that he was a junkie in it, because he kind of like, I feel like he dabbled, but he didn't like go.
Right.
I mean, would saying Kurt Cobain be too obvious?
Not for you.
No. He's really important.
Yeah.
Probably him. It's sad. Like, I'm like, it's when I say favorite, I'm like the one that's the most. I always think of it, like, I also think of Lane Staley. Like, I'm annoyed because his voice was so unlike anything. But probably Kurt Cobain. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That wasn't supposed to be such a dark question, but it invariably was.
Well, it's terrible. But a lot of great art
is terrible. That's true. That's true.
All right, so let's wrap this up. You can go to ifanboy.com. You can talk about My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies if you want to talk about it there. We'll be back with another Booksplode in January, because this is an every other month show. Next month, there will be a Talksplode, hopefully. That's the deal we made with the patrons when they unlocked that level. Talksplode is the interview show. Booksplode is the book review show. And we'll be back. In the meantime, you can go to ifanboy.com, find our weekly Pick of the Week podcast, which Josh and I, sometimes a special guest, talk about the week's comics, and that's it. I'm not going to make a heroin joke.
I think that's probably the safest choice.
All right, so until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Thank you. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened, because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, like, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right, so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.